Good afternoon and welcome to Who's in the Kitchen. You're listening to WDRT Community Radio 91.9 and streaming live on the internet at WDRT.org, where you can find recordings of previous shows by going to the archives. And so my guests today are from the Living Faith Food Pantry in Viroqua. And this food pantry has been going for a long time, but we want to have a catch-up on what has been happening in the last few years, because a lot of changes have taken place. So my guests, I have three guests in the studio today. I have Pastor Dale of Living Faith Church here in Viroqua, and Becky Ryder, who's manager of the food pantry, and Austin Krupp, who is assistant manager. And between the three of them, I think we're going to get a good picture of the food pantry. I got involved a while ago when they had Friends of the Food Pantry, and they may still have it, but I don't participate now. But I was so impressed then with all the services that they give. And then I went into the food pantry about a month ago, and I went, oh, my gosh, this is just, you know, they've really moved their quarters, and they've really improved their equipment, and their staffing is amazing. So I don't know if people really know what the food pantry does. So I think we should just start with what a food pantry is and how, you know, what Living Faith offers. So Pastor Dale, you want to start?
Yeah, so the changes in the last 5 years, I think 5 years ago we were probably doing 5,000 pounds a week, and at least last year I think our average was close to 10,000 pounds. We were operating in the back of the church out of five small rooms. Now we have a facility designed specifically for the food pantry. We had 16 feet of shelving to display like canned and dry goods. Now we've got 50 feet. Just an absolute change in the environment. We had 15 household size refrigeration appliances, and now we've got two walk-in, a walk-in cooler and a walk-in freezer. Restrooms were 200 feet down the hall. Now they're right in the food pantry. Utility closet for cleaning was on the other end of the building. Now it's right in the pantry. We were mopping floors by hand. Now we have a floor cleaning machine. Registration was just all paperwork. Now we have registration on the computer with ID cards. So on and on with those kinds of changes. One of the biggest changes, and I think it really improves the quality of the food pantry, which is we have opened a hospitality center for the patrons while they're waiting, because we run a choice program. Sometimes it's an hour for them to go through the line, and they can come in and have a lunch from about 11 o'clock until around 4:30. We provide a small meal, beverages, and places for people to sit and visit. And I just think that for both the volunteers and the patrons, it's just a huge social community impact.
I'm as excited
about as I am about just the way we're handling the food distribution.
Mm-hmm. That's really amazing. Well, we're talking about, when you say 5 years ago, that was COVID.
Yep.
How did that affect the food pantry?
Oh, I didn't even include that. Well, during COVID, the pantry itself was closed. Everything was no contact distribution out the back door.
And that is, so people just lined up in their cars.
Yeah, so we had a line starting on Main Street that went all the way around the back of our building and then out through our parking lot. And yeah, so they would give us their name and how many in their household, and we would just give them pre-selected food and put it in their car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, virtually no contact with the patrons.
But you didn't stop servicing people, because that was really a time when people really needed food, wasn't it? Let's just go back a little bit, Becky or Austin. You know, what is the purpose of a food pantry? What's the minimum of what they're trying to do?
Yeah, so generally, what we are trying to do as a food pantry is to provide families who are in need for food, whatever they need to get through a crisis. So if there's some kind of food insecurity that they have, maybe a family member got sick, or they had some kind of misfortune happen to their family, or even something where they aren't able to get a job that fully supplies or meets the need for their food for the family, this is a resource where they can come and, yeah, receive a free portion of food. This is really something that we are able to provide for people to keep people that would end up going under the poverty line up and above that, so that they can get back onto their feet and are able to, yeah, really sustain and thrive in the mm-hmm. community.
Now, I used to kind of think as the food pantry is all prepackaged food and stuff that can't spoil and all that, but not this food pantry. I want you to tell us what you offer.
Yeah, so we have more than just prepackaged food. So there is a dairy case with eggs and milk and cheese, and that's right when you first come in with glass doors, so the patrons get to come in and choose what they want. There's also a freezer section with meat. And that's
meat.
So mm-hmm. they get to choose between 2 and 3 choices for meat. And so the protein is nice, where we feel good about being able to offer protein as well. And then the produce is, there's a huge produce section that that comes in and is sorted by the volunteers and put out. And the patrons get to go and choose, you know, whether they want onions and carrots and cabbage and apples and oranges and grapefruit and and bread as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. I also thought that the food pantries just, you know, they give you a box or a sack of pre-chosen food, but not at the Living Faith Food Pantry.
Right.
You actually accompany the customer.
Right.
And they get to choose within limitations, but they get to choose so that they're not getting things that they would never eat.
Right.
And I think that's a wonderful aspect.
Yeah.
I'm not sure every food pantry is able to offer that.
I don't think so. I think we're unique in that. Mm-hmm. I think others may do that somewhat. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the patrons get to choose what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And everything has, there's limits put on of how much they can take. But mm-hmm. We feel like that reduces waste.
Sure.
But it also makes it feel more dignified. Of shopping and picking choosing. You get a choice of what you want.
It's just like going through the grocery store.
Exactly.
And, I mean, it's a wonderful social opportunity, because when I went in there, there are many volunteers. And, you know, when you come into shop, someone walks along with you, lets you know what is available, and you don't feel like a total stranger, and, you're really cared for. And that's kind of the beginning of the social aspect of the food mm-hmm. pantry.
Absolutely, yeah. The volunteers really enjoy taking the patrons through.
Yes, and we're going to cover a lot of topics here, but I was really amazed at how many volunteers were there, and then when I was talking with Austin, I found out how many things have to happen at the food pantry to actually have this food displayed, stored, and processed, and have processed the customers who are coming in, and unloading the food that's being delivered from the different stores. I mean, yes, please go into all the details of how volunteers are used, and it's a little pitch for people to volunteer at the food pantry. You might feel a little shy and maybe never went into a food pantry, but I tell you, I felt very welcomed, and it was a great place to come. And then I think, oh, look at all these people who are helping out. Mm-hmm. And so, Austin, go into more detail about what the different jobs are at the food pantry.
Yeah, so one of the biggest thing is, as far as like food pantry volunteers, is getting all the food into the pantry, first of all, from outside sources, and then processing that food. And that's all happening throughout the week, not on distribution day. So we have volunteers that are working pretty much every day of the week, except I think there's several days.
Oh.
Which days are there again mm-hmm. for those? Becky?
So we have an order that comes in on Friday. Someone needs to receive that. And then Thursday, some weeks, we have an order from TFAP. And Mondays, we get a lot of orders. So it's pretty much Mondays and Thursdays and Fridays. But every once in a while, we'll get a different order on a different day.
So helpers at that time need to be able to kind of lift some cartons and crates and things like that.
Right, right.
And move them off the trucks and into the warehouse and then onto the shelves or wherever they go.
But it's also sources like Co-op, Quick Trip, where our volunteers go pick up the food and bring it in during the week as well.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But those are just the deliveries that Austin's talking about
right
now.
I see.
Yeah.
And that was a really big advantage of getting your new warehouse and really having room to, you have docks, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so that the produce or whatever, all the different foods can be kind of unloaded and then have a place to store it. You can't just have it. It doesn't go straight onto the shelves, I don't think, sometimes.
No.
You have storage areas and so.
Yeah, just the difference. I mean, so working on a project, but just thinking about the deliveries, I thought I estimated somewhere around 25 deliveries a month. Five different groups come in through the dock with a semi, and then two-thirds of those come in through the other side door, you know, maybe 400 or 500 pounds, 200-300 pounds at a time as volunteers pick up stuff. So it's a lot of different deliveries, and volunteers are there kind of managing that whole thing.
Wow, and it's do you know the exact times? I mean, can you count on, you know, the delivery, or is it like between 9 and 12 or something like that?
I usually get a schedule.
Yeah.
And then I
let
the volunteers know what time they're coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they absolutely love it, the volunteers do.
Well, I could feel that. I mean, it just felt like a great community of people. And many people who work there could have been on this show today. I mean,
they all gave
me information about, you know, many have worked there for, I don't know, 10, 12 years.
Yes.
I mean, it's, So go on, Austin, with, after the food gets delivered, you know, what are other volunteer jobs?
Jobs, yeah. So there's someone who takes care of just the freezer. So Michael Potter is the one who kind of is over that at this point, and he has other people helping him, but he is in charge of organizing all the freezer stuff that we get in and fairly kind of setting the limitations for Monday distribution based on how much we got in throughout the week. So kind of organizing all of the different kinds of meats into those categories, like, so we got X amount of fish in, we get X amount of chicken in, we get X amount of pork, X amount of beef, sometimes even lamb, sometimes venison.
Mm-hmm.
So organizing all of that and then trying to figure out how we can fairly distribute this to our patrons. So that's one. The refrigeration is another one, our walk-in cooler, and that kind of spills over into our produce section as well. Joseph Fouts is over that, and he has a lot of helpers with that who process through donations Monday morning, mostly from Walmart, but also all the fresh produce from other farms in the area. Setting it all out on the shelves, making sure it's quality, throwing out anything that's bad, getting all the shelves organized and bringing out the milk, the eggs, sorting it all by, what is it called?
Expiration
date, yep. Trying to get the oldest stuff out first, making sure that that goes first. So there's a huge, huge process with that.
Really, if anybody's worked in a grocery store or a food co-op where they were, you know, just stocking the shelves and just handling like the produce, making sure you pick over it and it's always fresh and looking nice, and there's just... Yeah, what a huge job just that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was very impressed with the produce, and I guess we can really talk about, we've got a great source of produce from our local produce farms. We have so many farms, and a lot of the food is even organic, and the generosity of these local farms is really great. And I think we have, I don't know, does the gleaning project work with the food pantry? Because there are people that go out to glean vegetables and fruits that have little bumps and knobs and you know, rust spots on them that, the, you know, that the produce marketers are not going to sell. And they still taste good. And so gleaning is a project that goes on through the Food Enterprise Center here in Viroqua. And I think...
Is that Community Hunger Solutions?
Yes, yeah. Community Hunger Solutions.
I know they used to send out people to pick, but I don't know if they do that anymore. I think that was pretty tough to do.
It is, and I'll have to find out if that's current, but that's one way that food, again, talking about food waste, just because you have a bumpy pepper doesn't mean somebody can't eat it, you know. But a lot of times food just stays just out in the garden and doesn't get harvested. So if it isn't happening, it could still happen again. And so... Let's see. Oh, then you're greeted. There's people that greet you and take you in, right?
Yes. So David and Marlene are the faces of the pantry, pretty much. And they will greet our patrons as they come in, giving them a number, a spot in the line, and then announcing the numbers as they come available for people to come into the waiting room. We have a PA system in the parking lot, so as people are, and it goes into the hospitality area if they're in there as well. So whenever their turn comes, they'll come up and we'll fill out their choices of meats and get called in. And there's a volunteer who's sitting at the registration desk, and they'll get them registered into the system. And yeah, then they'll be met by another volunteer who will begin to assist them through the food pantry to get their food.
So you could be waiting not just in line, but you could be in the hospitality center while you're waiting for your number to come up. That's really nice.
That is.
Yeah. And let's see, can you think of more volunteers? Well, how are the meals getting cooked? I suppose there's volunteers cooking.
So a number of people are very, very faithful, are cooking a lot of hours on Sunday, are ready to prepare soups or hot dishes or, and quite a bit of food preparation even that day. But getting that all set up, the tables set up, and the food, it's kind of like a buffet line where you're assisted. But, so that takes, I think there's 6 or 7 people pretty much do that every Monday.
Oh, my gosh. Are a lot of those people from your church?
Yeah, it's when you say Sunday. So the hospitality is not really even a food pantry project. It's really a church kind of helping the food pantry.
Oh, great.
Well, to be honest, when people have to wait, they get a little, you know, upset. And so this just helps. I mean, fills the time with some, you know, which makes the waiting a lot more pleasant.
Right. Well, just sitting waiting in line, in a way it might feel a little demeaning, and you're looking around and saying, who else is getting food at the food pantry, you know? But I just love the idea of the social aspect of the food. And if people just wanted to go at lunch, sometime around lunchtime, and just visit with people who come to the food pantry, so much gets done. Please elaborate on what gets accomplished by eating together.
People share their stories.
Yeah.
And we get to interact, and of course parts of everyone's story is some sort of trouble, and we get to interact with them about that. And you know, back in the day when we had a lot of teenagers working in the pantry, this was 6-7 years ago in our church had a lot of teenagers. I mean, they really got to know the families, and a few of the families bring in their children. They got to know the children all by name. And then when they had things going on in their lives, even if they were in hospital, some of our people, you know, kids got to know them, and then the parents, they'd go and visit them in the hospital. So, yeah, really, to really be involved. And in some cases, even now, there are some homeless that come through. I know a few months back, a guy who... had some issues, and we got him a pair of shoes. And I mean, you know, just all those little things. And it's more about just that someone cares. Someone sees your situation and cares.
Well, that was one thing that I noticed. And when we had our group, Friends of the Food Pantry, I just learned so much about, erasing some of the misconceptions I had of people. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you told us was just most people really only go to the food pantry for a limited amount of time when they're having a tough time. This is not really people that are just living off the food pantry. And then I found out, you know, by talking to people, I mean, if you are, especially if you're older and your husband or wife is really sick, you have to be caring for them. And it changes your life so much. And the income may be really reduced if somebody gets injured or has to be in the hospital. And suddenly, you know, you're going to the food pantry for the first time, and you may have never been there before. And you might feel bad about going to the food pantry, but then you get there and you realize, wow, there's a lot of people that, you know, are having tough times. And the other thing that I learned is just people say, well, you know, you can get help here. You know, you can get a ride to the food pantry. The taxi will give you a ride one way, I mm-hmm. think. You know, if your car breaks down, well, you can go to this service and they'll help you maybe get a hold of a car temporarily. I mean, just you know, finding out from other people what's available in the community mm-hmm. for help.
It's been a while since I've done some of these numbers, but they're a group of patrons in their 30s. And again, this community, because it's very unique nature, attracts people. Young people want to live in this kind of community, and they come in this town and live in absolute abject poverty, sometimes living in someone's garage. And when I looked at those numbers, the average service was like 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They just needed help for 4 months, and then they were self-sustaining in mm-hmm. some way or another. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a lot on the other end is elderly, fixed income, you know,
really
handicapped, and those are folks that, you know, just, and then any little change in their environment on that fixed income automatically makes them food desperate.
Right, right. And it certainly limits what you eat. I think what's so great about the food pantry is not just cans of beans. I mean, there is the whole range of something you'd find in a grocery store, and you can eat very healthfully from the food pantry. And that's really important, especially when you're down and out. You might just be, you know, just eating nothing but potatoes or beans or something like that. And so you can get greens and fresh things and eggs. And when I went through, there's a huge pile of cilantro. And they said, oh, take some cilantro. It's not going to be any good next week, you know. So I went home with a pile of cilantro. But, you know, it's just really amazing. And the produce, of course, it's really, you know, it's fresh. But in a week, you know, it may have already been, you know,
right.
discarded.
Yeah.
And so maybe I should just talk about, we're talking about the Living Faith Food Pantry in Viroqua, and I'm talking with Pastor Dale, and I didn't get your last name.
Colesman.
And Becky Ryder and Austin Krupp, and they all work at the food pantry or help see that it's going. I think you founded it, Pastor Dale.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no. My wife and I managed it for 12 years. We started working there in 2012. And we're not really exactly sure the date, because usually these things start with someone who recognizes families who need help, and they'll get together some groceries from their own cupboard, or they'll get a couple others, and they'll hand out bags.
Right.
So we're guessing somewhere in 93,
okay.
94.
Good. I'm glad we
and
got
then
a
it
date.
Just uh-huh. kind of grew exponentially. We began to get, you know, contracts with places like Second Harvest and TFAP, and then, you know, get these shipments. So yeah, it just evolved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is one. Did anyone want to say anything more about the volunteers?
Well, we did have one other group that is important. So the choice shopping is important that people get to choose, but we also have outside distribution where people can just pull up. And if they're in a hurry or if they don't want to come into the food pantry that day, they can get a box. And there's certain things that we give out there. And there's mostly men out there that are dealing with that and handing out that food. And we're so grateful for them because it is a need. We have quite a few out there that pull up and get mm-hmm. food every week. So mm-hmm. that's open from, right now it's open from 11:30 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
And those gentlemen also see that you are escorted to your car if you want help with unloading your groceries. and they put the groceries right in their car and then bring the cart back in for them. So,
full service.
yes. So, yeah, really even in the wind and the cold and the snow, they're out there helping. So we're so grateful.
I have to make a shout out to the Lions Club. I don't know how many Lions Club members we have as volunteers now, but we have some that are already 10 years or more.
There's quite a few.
And these are true patriots.
They've
really hung with us all through COVID. It was primarily Lions Club members that did that outside delivery, and they give us quite a bit of funding and just very, very supportive.
Oh, that's great. And I'm sure, you know, other groups in the area could be welcome to
participate. Well, and certainly churches and you know,
there's a lot of people who are supportive.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Well, but in terms of a group,
That's really very nice. And, let's talk about where the food comes from. I mean, you might think, oh, people are just bringing a few things from their home and donating. And I suppose there is a certain amount of donating, or sometimes there'll be an event in town and they'll say, bring an item for the food pantry, non-perishable food item for the food pantry. But that isn't really the main way you get all your food, is it?
No.
So tell us, how does food get to the food pantry?
So we have a partnership with Second Harvest. And
what is that?
So Second Harvest is an organization that gets in food from different places like Walmart when they have food that they need to move quickly or they need to get it to the food pantries. And so Second Harvest is a place where I can order food. So they have a huge warehouse in Madison, but I have a representative in Viroqua, actually. He lives in Viroqua. His name's Corey. And he helps us if we have any questions in dealing with Second Harvest. But it's a very well-run organization with a huge warehouse. They're actually trying to get a bigger warehouse because they have food that they could take in if they have a larger warehouse. So they're trying to get funding for that. So we order from them. Second Harvest is also an umbrella organization that helps us to get food from Aldi's and Walmart and from Quick Trip as well. And so some food wouldn't last if it was shipped all the way to Madison and back to here. And so that food, like the produce and breads and things, so then we get it directly from our Aldi's in Viroqua and our Walmart and our Quick Trip. And so then we have volunteers that go and pick it up and bring it right to the food pantry.
Well, this is really organized.
Yes.
There's a bit of bookkeeping and office work, right?
Yeah, there is.
Really amazing.
Yeah. So Corey then, he helps to organize those partnerships that we have locally, which we're very, very grateful for. Mm-hmm. And then we also have TFAP, the Emergency Food Assistance Program, that we get food from. That's a government organization, and we get food from them. We get some frozen food from them and some canned food once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also get produce, not every week, but about probably two times a month, we get produce from them.
Well, when you say government funded, I'm kind of wondering, is government funding shrinking? Have you felt any of this yet? But there's kind of a threat that there might be something, services.
So that's a popular, scapegoat. You know, we're going to blame someone for cutting funding, but the fact of the matter is since 2021, the United States has become a net importer of food, meaning it buys more food than it sells. Very few, if anybody, knows that.
No.
But food production in this country has been sharply decreasing by a number of things. Like meat, for example, that is primarily due to a 4 to 5 year drought that went from Texas all the way to Montana. It was so bad that a lot of farmers sold their breeding stock. So, you don't just recover next year when the rains start because your animals are gone. But the increase in fertilizer, the increased cost of machinery, the cost of trucking, all of that puts pressure on that whole food system. And so that's what we're really seeing. Even here, even locally, you know, farmers now really have to watch their margins, and they cannot afford to produce a lot of food that's given away. Now, again, they're always going to have enough so they can meet their customers' needs. Mm-hmm. But to just have maybe 15 to 20% of excess food that you just give to a food pantry. So here we are at the end of the line. That's what food pantries. We get what someone else can't sell. And I guess if you want to blame government, you know, decisions are being made that are cutting water in some places of the country to farmers, to fruit and vegetable and nut growers. For example, California produces 80% of the vegetables that we eat in this country, 80%. And so what does it cost now to have that here? You know, all the different things. And one that just, I don't know, I just find this interesting. So in 2013, United States allowed China to buy the third of the one of the big three meat producers, Smithfield. And it handles primarily pork. That's now owned by China. And that is...
What's the impact of that?
Well, I mean, I think it shows up in our grocery store prices. So that meat, you know, they don't really process it here other than this. They butcher the pig, cut it in half, flash freeze it, and send it to China. So that meat... And then the other thing that happened, and this is a government deal, the government used to put a... There was a... If you're in the processing business, you could not own production facilities like farms. That law was changed mm-hmm. so that China could not only process the pork, but produce it themselves. And if I might just say, you know, most people know the story of the prodigal, a young man who thought the world was a lot better, you know, out from under dad's, you know, eyes. And he finds himself experiencing a personal food shortage because the pigs are owned by a foreigner. Huh. And that's coming home to roost here. Those kinds of decisions, government decisions that are cutting food production.
And here I thought, well, of course, this is a few years ago, I guess, but I thought we just had so much surplus in the United States that we just had food to give away.
No.
All over the world. No, that's not.
Well, one of my farmers in my congregation for a while was taking bull calves from dairy farmers and, you know, turning them into stock. But he was paying $400 for a 100-pound calf. So I guess for a guy who doesn't know that, when I was a kid, you could, if, well, because that's been a couple of years back. But I mean, if you could get 50 bucks for a calf, even a heifer calf was pretty good. So, you know, lots of things of, again, the prices, the cost of this production, shipping, processing, machinery. So less food is being produced. A lot of farmers going out of business. A lot of land in this country is being taken out of production through, you know, it all looks good on paper. You know, these people can donate their farm to these nature conservancies, and I don't even know how many millions and millions of acres, but these lands are now permanently out of food production.
Oh, they are.
Yes.
Well, now I see that a lot of land is being bought for, I don't know, information processing. Oh. I mean, it doesn't even have anything to do with food.
Well, the expansion of, you know, expansion.
Yeah. Well,
of,
people if, just
and
want
using
land.
Up land. Yes.
Yeah, using up land.
But no, and we do not have an excess of food.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Well, there's a lot of food waste too.
Yes.
But again, that's food that's not going to come our way one way or the other. But there's a lot of things in our country that are out of order that affect us at the very end of the line who are trying to feed people who mm-hmm. can't buy it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Well, I've always been concerned that we're buying so much food from California or, you know, Mexico or beyond. And why can't we just, why don't we consume food that's nearby and not be transporting it all, you know, so far away?
Yeah, so if I can speak to that again, the economics of a capitalistic system where, you know, processors, especially when there's an oligarchy of processors, specifically buy foreign meat, beef on the hoof, so they can force the American farmer to sell for less. And so, for example, and again, another food shortage, we were doing 1.5 million head of cattle out of Mexico a month until about 2 months ago when the screwworm was discovered in this cattle. And so now that 150 million head isn't going to be easily made up by domestic production, and it's certainly not available from Mexico probably for a year. Because till they make sure that those that pest is resolved. Yep. So all kinds of production issues and marketing
the eggs,
and money
the poultry.
Making.
We went through the big poultry crisis.
Oh, yes.
It seems like now we are getting eggs at a more reasonable price. But, I mean, just if you tune in to farmers and their plight, it's very, you know, they're so subject to weather, of course, any kind of climate change, and then disease and things getting spoiled or something happening in transportation or storage. And, you know, it's a very uncertain field to be in, you know. So I'm talking with people from the Living Faith Food Pantry here in Viroqua. You're listening to WDRT Community Radio 91.9 FM and streaming live on the internet at WDRT.org. And you can go to our website and you can go to Who's in the Kitchen and hear previous shows like this one. And if you've missed out on some things and you want to go back, you can go to the archives and listen to the show again. The last Saturday of the month, we have a new show that's been airing for about a year, and it's called Digging Deep, and it's basically focused on farming. And we just feel like it's really important for people who consume food, who need food, which would be most of us, to know where our food comes from and what's involved in, you know, raising it and transporting it, storing it, getting rid of it, getting it to the right people. And keep making it possible for people to make a living while producing food. It's all very complicated, and that's why, you know, I think people say, well, I'm not a farmer, why should I pay attention to the farm bill? A lot of decisions are being made, and it's just huge decisions, and it requires so much knowledge about what's happening, you know, from food stamps all the way to, say, insuring, you know, crops that fail for farmers and just everything in between. There's so much decided by the federal government how money is going to be distributed and support our food system. So anyway, you're listening to Who's in the Kitchen? And I'm Philothea Beeson, and I'm just so pleased to have you all. I feel really privileged that all three of you are here talking about the food pantry. One of the things, I'm going to have a little pause here. I'm having a brain.
Can I just add a little bit about food donors?
Okay. Yes. That's actually, that's where I wanted to go.
Yeah. So one other food donor that we have that is not under Second Harvest is the Viroqua Food Co-op.
Really?
And yes, we're so thankful for our local food co-op that donates very generously every week to our food pantry. So we're very thankful for them.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. They do fundraising for us as well. When you go in there and they do the roundup program, the Give Where You Live, where you round up to the nearest dollar, that brought in almost $3,000 in January, which
just
is so helpful.
For that month, how wonderful.
Yes.
Well, I know that Pastor Dale can talk about that too. That donating food in kind is really not as effective as donating money. I didn't really realize that, but you can explain why that's so much better, you know.
Well, and again, historically, and things have changed so much, but I mean, historically, we could buy food for 18 cents a pound, all kinds of canned food and all kinds of food for that, and some of it even just for the cost of shipping. That, I think, has largely gone away. But still, we are going to have access to bargains with food, whereas the customer, the person in the community who is donating to a food pantry who goes out and buys that at retail. I mean, there was a point at which, you know, you'd have to spend $1.50 for a can of beans, and for $1.50 we could buy six or seven.
Yes.
So, but so we don't have the luxury of being able to buy it as readily as we did before. But again, in every case, we're going to go farther with that cash. And then the other thing is, historically, food pantries, their cost, our cost, is the building, all of the equipment, the utilities, and people to run it. It's an enormous enterprise nowadays. And, you know, when you talk about distributing, you know, 6 to 10,000 pounds a week, there is a lot of activity. Even as our volunteers, it was largely a Monday activity. And even now, we probably are getting as many volunteer hours in during the week as are being produced on Monday. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of these folks, I think some names already mentioned, are maybe doing 20 to 25 hours a week
of volunteer work.
And I think what I particularly enjoy in that is the ownership. I mean, these people aren't just working at this place that helps people. They really are invested. I mean, invested in their energies and their time, high in their heart. And that's really precious.
Really? Well, can you imagine how much it would cost if you had to pay everybody to work there? Yeah. You couldn't do it. You just couldn't do it. So the food pantries all over the country that are doing this, we really need to be very grateful for all the volunteer work that comes in. And I know people feel compassionate and they want to help. And maybe let's talk about how people can help. If somebody wants to help our particular food pantry, you know, if they have food, what do they do? Just physically come by? Do they contact you? What if they have money or cash, or they want to do a fundraiser? I mean, what do they do?
Yeah. So if you have food from your garden, we'll take it. We'll sort it. Yes. So you can drop it off on Monday. It helps if you can be there in the morning, and we'll bring it in and weigh it. If you need a receipt, we can get you a receipt so that you can track that. So we'll take any and all produce from farmers or gardeners, even in your backyard garden. I have people walk in with a bucket of green beans, and we're very grateful to get them, and the patrons love it. So,
well, talk about farm to table. That's about as close as you can get, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And fresh. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I have two pear trees, and some years they feed 19 families, 20 families. I put out an ad on Viroqua Area Folks or something. It must have been larger than Viroqua. I had people from Minnesota who came, and they picked all the pears from the ground. And the next day, there were more pears on the ground. And just different families came and got, and I thought, that's just so wonderful. And then someone said, well, did you think about taking them to the food pantry? Which I didn't. It didn't occur to me. And so the idea would be you bring it on the day that you're going to hand it out. So it'll be just as fresh as it possibly can.
Yes.
And that's a wonderful idea. Wonderful. Usually we have way too many tomatoes or some kind of a crop. Mm-hmm. And somebody else would love to have that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and then for making cash donations, can you give us an address or
So it's directly to the Living Food Food Pantry. They have their
Living
own account.
Faith
so every
pantry.
Yeah, so all the monies that are donated go right into that account and are sole purpose of that account. So yeah, just make it out to Living Faith Food Pantry, and I guess we have a website. I think the addresses are correct on the website.
A lot of people don't have checks anymore. And so Austin just oversaw getting that done on our website.
Yes.
So with the click of a button now, you can put in your credit card number or debit card number and just give just like that. And it goes directly into our account. So yeah, he's the whiz there with the computer. So.
Thank you for telling us that. Yeah. Because, I mean, I really didn't know. How would you do that, say, with a credit card?
Yeah, we had a lot of requests for that. And so then we talked about it. And do we think this is possible? Oh, yeah, it's possible. So, yeah.
Well, Austin, I had a great conversation with you a few weeks ago. Could you share what you do? What do you do at the food pantry?
Yeah, so my main goal or my main job is to help Becky do what she does, which is managing the food pantry, making sure that everything gets done.
Coordinated.
Coordinated, yeah. So we both, I guess the main thing is we split overseeing Monday's distribution. So we swap out the day. So one Monday I'm in the mornings overseeing the getting everything ready. The next Monday she's in the mornings. And then we'll take the afternoon or the afternoon and evening mm-hmm. of whichever off day that we're on.
Well, we haven't mentioned the hours. When are the hours that it's open?
Yeah, so the hours are 11:30 to 7 on Monday.
Okay.
11:30 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Okay, but that doesn't mean that you get there then.
Correct.
You have work to do before it opens.
Yeah, so most of the work on Mondays actually happens before it opens. So there are volunteers there who probably somewhere around 7:30. I usually get there at 8. And then, yeah, working all the way until 11:30 when it actually opens.
Mm-hmm.
So then throughout the week, I mean, I'm managing projects like the website, just upkeep with the facilities, making sure that everything is running smoothly with the forklift, the scales that we have. I've been working on a project with that just to enable us to more efficiently account for the food that is coming in and get that all documented. So I'm the guy, the project guy, so to help Becky be able to focus on the day-to-day sort of things, mm-hmm. the food, ordering the food, getting all the schedules organized and all of that. That's her thing. So I do more the projects end of things.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, another thing, this is you personally, I guess, but you have a background in counseling.
That's correct.
And you said that's really come in handy because
yes.
that's a gift you bring to the food pantry mm-hmm. and all the people that are there and the food, the socialized, you know, area and everything where people, if they, you know, want to just have somebody listen to them.
Yes.
You have that skill.
Yes, I do really. That's one of the biggest things that I enjoy about the food pantry is being able to connect with the volunteers. So being able to listen to them, they've got stories, they've got troubles, they've got issues, and just to be a listening ear and to point them in the right direction. So I really, really enjoy that aspect of that as well.
Great. I'm really glad to have you on the team. I think it's a real good addition. So when did you start working at the food pantry?
Ooh, so I'm not really good with that. I think it was...
it was October.
October, okay.
Of last year.
Okay, mm-hmm. yep.
So do you live in the area?
Yes, mm-hmm. I live just a little bit past Liberty Pole.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So...
And what about you, Becky? So managing the food pantry, what's your job?
So I haven't been there very long, just since 1 year exactly when I started.
Wow. Well, what was your background that you could even manage this?
Yeah. So I was educated as a teacher. And then all of the years prior to this, I've been homeschooling our four boys. And now my boys are older. We're still educating some of them, but now they are older and not needing me as much. And so, yeah, they asked me to take over the management, and I came in to try it, and I was hooked. Just with the volunteers and the loving atmosphere, the place is so vibrant with just love and compassion for others. And yeah, I was hooked, and I have to take this job.
And you had to learn on the job, I'm sure, a ton of stuff.
Yeah. The past year has been a huge learning curve, and I'm still learning and still will learn.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, my job is a lot of coordinating, a lot of just giving people the tools they need to do what they're doing well. So that's what I feel like my job is. Just giving mm-hmm. all the volunteers mm-hmm. whatever they need so that they can feel mm-hmm. fulfilled in whatever mm-hmm. they're doing, and that it goes smoothly for them. So
good.
Yeah,
I'm sure
yeah.
it's gratifying to have a staff at the head of the helm.
Well, another big task is interfacing with the community, public relations. And again, just how getting the message out, what it is we do, there's always a lot of misconceptions. Still, a lot of people think that there's just lazy people, you know, feeding off of someone else's labor. And it's not that. So, again, this message needs to go out there. And then there's just, you know, just constantly, you know, talking with some of the organizations, churches, the different groups that, that help. And, you know, how can you help? You know, what are we looking for? And just, I have, I guess, been impressed by the degree of goodwill that we enjoy here. I mean, people really have taken it upon themselves personally and even as a community to support this food pantry. There isn't any way that we could do it with our efforts alone. I mean, it just takes this whole community to support it, both with volunteers and with the and with money. But so that's one of her jobs is to just make sure. And sometimes misinformation is out there, and we have to kind of challenge that at the source.
What are kind of the general misinformation topics?
Oh, boy, getting into that, yeah, I don't know that I really can, because sometimes it's just, well, sometimes a person has an opinion and they share that on Facebook, and we might counter that with some correct information. She writes a quarterly newsletter, and just what's been going on, so that it's not just old news about what the food pantry does, but it's fresh stories of a volunteer, of a patron that's been particularly touched, or an issue with the procurement of food or whatever. So just maintaining communication with the community, that's
important. Is there a membership, I mean, a mailing list or newsletter or anything that goes
there
out?
There is a newsletter mailing list, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So they can send us a message online from the website, and it will go directly to my email and let me know that you want to be on the newsletter list.
You'll know about fundraising activities and any other kind of activity.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, so donors are automatically put on that. And so we, every month, they get a newsletter and a receipt for their donation. And
Okay. Well, I'm wondering, in our last few minutes, are there any topics that you really wanted to talk about and you want to convey while we have a chance?
So maybe just what's special about our food pantry, what makes us different from other food pantries. So we talked that people can come in and choose what they want, and so we already discussed that. And so that they're satisfied with the food that they have, and there's less waste.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, who's eligible to come to the food pantry?
Yeah, so pretty much if you need us, if you are food insecure, we're here for you.
Is there a big, you know, pages of my income and all that stuff?
There, no. It's not documented.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So it's just really, just you honestly say, I need some food.
Right.
And that's really it.
Right.
I think that is amazing. And are all food pantries like that, or some of them more income eligible?
Well, so some of the government programs like TFAP, they use some low income numbers, so it's a self reporting. We give the patron, they can look at a chart, says what, you know, you self declare your own income, and then that falls within a range based on your household size, and so there are a few places that require that, you know, that kind of, you know, some of the foods we get require that.
Mm-hmm.
Something I didn't share before, organization, and you see their signs all over, Feeding America, I don't know how long they've been around, but they've just tried to do a lot of general information about food insecurity. But in terms of what pantry's goals are, the goal has largely been for a pantry to supply a three-day supply of food, so basically 9 meals. And Feeding America has estimated that roughly 2.5 pounds of raw food, so that might be, you know, something that's frozen or in a can or something, but about 2.5 pounds per meal per person per day. So that's 22.5 pounds. So for years, I felt like we've set the gold standard. I think for years in there, what I was earning it, we were running 48 to 51 pounds per person every time. So that's essentially double. That's that was double, you know, kind of what the expectation is. Now we're falling more back because of supply. We're falling back to that that estimate of the minimum of what a pantry should do. So again, in the glory days when we could give out so much food, now we're shrinking back more into a pattern of reality.
But people still walk out with a cartload.
Oh, yeah.
A cartload of food.
Yes, they're getting food.
Well, we have some carts in our large families. I think some of those carts are weighing 200 pounds.
Yeah, a large family gets a wagon. so they come away with a lot of food.
Yeah, it's not just a little
paper bag or something. No.
Yeah,
no.
So if you estimate, no, you know, the cost of retail food at, I don't know, $2.50 a pound? I mean, even canned food now is pretty pricey, but, you know, 200 pounds at $2.50 a pound, I mean, that hits the budget.
Right.
Yeah,
and
it's
of course
substantial.
You're not trying to meet the family's 100% needs.
No,
but
right.
you're supplementing what they spend at the grocery store. Yeah.
We're bridging the gap.
Yes, you're bridging the gap.
Mm-hmm.
Austin, do you want to have a final word?
I think the only thing I would say as a final word is, our heart really is to be here for the community and to be a place where people can come and feel safe, be met with the love of Jesus. That is really what our heart, our goal is, to be the hands and feet of Christ to our community and to really, I don't know, break down some of that preconceived ideas about what that looks like. And to just be real mm-hmm. people who have real compassion for real needs.
I'm sure there's people who feel like, I'm concerned. I do want to help. I do love, you know, my fellow man, and how can I help? And the food pantry is one very concrete way to help, isn't it?
Yes.
Thank you so much, Becky Ryder and Austin Krupp and Pastor Dale. Will you give me your last name again?
Toltzman, T-O-L-T-Z. Actually,
right, Toltzman.
The call right. sign of the station, W-D-R-T, D-R-T are my initials.
Oh, okay.
Dale Raymond Toltzman.
They have been here talking about Living Faith Food Pantry here in Viroqua, Wisconsin, and really a shining example of what a food pantry can be, but it takes a lot of volunteers. Our town is about 5,000 people. We have other towns in the area, but that's just a really wonderful. How many? Oh, yes. Just how many volunteers do you think you have per year?
I mean, I would say we have about 50 to 60 volunteers.
Yeah, that's just really mm-hmm. an amazing turnout mm-hmm. for volunteers.
Yeah. We never mentioned, but I think we're still serving close to 200 households a week. That represents roughly 700 people.
Mm-hmm.
A week.
Yeah.
Okay. That's just great. And thank you very much for coming to be on Who's in the Kitchen.
Thank you very
much.
Yeah,
thanks a lot. We appreciate this.